The reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it. And to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, the evil one comes, and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can take this time out to come before your word. We pray that you would speak and that we would hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, same message, different responses. I find it interesting sometimes when I ask my children to do things, like maybe together to clear the table and stack the dishwasher. That'd be lovely. So I say to a few of them, can you do that? And I find it amazing how, same message, I get different responses. There'll be one who straight away goes and does it. There'll be one who kind of starts saying, well, it's not fair or something. And there'll be another one who sort of seems to, as if they've never heard anything I said, slip out the door and be playing some game in the corner somewhere. Different message, or same message, different responses. And I think we get the same thing when it comes to the gospel. Why do some people respond positively to the gospel and some people don't? Why do some people reject the good news about Jesus and others embrace it? And this is a question Jesus' disciples were probably grappling with at the end of Matthew 12, where we left last week. How, for example, could the Pharisees have just described Jesus as casting out of a demon as the work of Satan, while others concluded from the same miracle that he must be the promised son of David come to rescue us? And as we've seen from Matthew 11 and 12 over the last few weeks, you can't be neutral about Jesus. Jesus says and he does things that show he's no ordinary man, that he is God's king and saviour who has a claim over our lives. Jesus' disciples had come to see this, and a number of them had already made costly and life-changing decisions in order to follow him. But why didn't everyone who encountered Jesus respond this way? Why did some people, like the Pharisees, despite being confronted with this truth of who Jesus was, still ultimately reject him, reject his kingship and the good news he was proclaiming? Well, in order to help his disciples, I think, better understand this, and in order also to challenge his hearers in how they responded to him, in Matthew 13, 1 to 23, Jesus tells this parable of the sower. Through this parable, Jesus teaches that people's response to the good news about him depends not just on this good news being proclaimed, but also on people's willingness to properly hear it. As Jesus says in verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. In this parable, Jesus speaks of a sower who went out to sow his seed. Es ging einer Seemann aus zu säen. In ancient Israel, a farmer would do this sowing by walking along the path between the fields and distributing seed from a bag hanging over his shoulder, scattering it like that. In this parable, the farmer scatters seed and it falls, we see, on four different kinds of soil, and each with a different result. Now, the parables that Jesus tells in the Bible are basically simple stories with a spiritual meaning. They're a bit like, if you like, a political cartoon that you usually need a little bit of further information or a bit of context to make sense of. A political cartoon. And we see that in verses 18 to 23, Jesus does provide the interpretive key to this parable. In verse 19, Jesus makes clear that this seed represents the word of the kingdom, or the message about his kingdom, the message of salvation that he was bringing. The sower, then, I think, must represent Jesus himself, or anyone, any of us who proclaim or pass on this good news to others. And finally, these four soils we see represent the different responses people make to this good news, which is sowed by Jesus and his followers. Jesus wants us to see, as one writer put it, that a seed will only grow if you plant it properly, so the good news about him will only change our lives if we hear it properly. So let's consider then these four soils, or four ways of hearing and responding to the gospel, and the outcome of each. The first soil we encounter in verse 4 is this hard soil. Hard soil. This person's response to hearing the good news about Jesus is simply not to listen. Here the seed of the gospel falls on the path that ran along the edge of the field. You see, in ancient Israel, such paths weren't made of concrete or stone, but they were made of soil. But soil that had become so hard through constant use as a walkway. Jesus explains in verse 19 that as seed that falls on such hard ground fails to penetrate or enter the surface and is quickly devoured or eaten by the birds, well, in the same way, Jesus says, if we hear the good news about his kingdom but fail to actually let it enter or penetrate our hearts and minds, well, the evil one will snatch it away. The devil will snatch it away before it has a chance to grow and change us. We need to realize that the devil is real. We need to realize that he is a thief. A thief who has no greater pleasure than stopping us hearing and responding in faith to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And the people of Israel at Jesus' time, and in particular the Pharisees, as we've been seeing in Matthew 12, were very much in danger of becoming this hard soil. They had been confronted with Jesus' miracles and teaching, but had not repented. And their prejudices against Jesus had stopped them properly considering the evidence, whether he really was who he claimed. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, 10 to 17, which is part of this passage today, but which Martin will address in more detail next week, in this passage we see in many ways Jesus gives a statement of judgment against the Pharisees and the people of Israel for their hardness of heart, for being hard soil that just is dull and doesn't want to listen. Jesus even indicates in verses 10 to 17 that he uses parables with their kind of veiled truths as a means of kind of cementing those who don't want to properly listen in their path of hardness that they have chosen. Of course, if someone's heart was open to the truth about Jesus' kingdom, parables did not have to end with confusion. We see the disciples in verses 10 to 17 going to Jesus to make sense of his parables and Jesus answering their questions. For those who have ears to hear, Jesus' parables had the positive purpose of conveying further understanding about his kingdom, if people want to hear. Well, back to this hard soil then. We need to realize the warning here. If we are hardened to properly hear and understand the good news because of laziness perhaps or distraction or prejudice, we really open the door for Satan to steal it from us, to take it away, to stop us properly hearing and understanding it so experience God's grace and saving transformation. And perhaps a test for us whether we are in danger of hardness, unreceptiveness to this sowed gospel word, perhaps a test is to ask, what have I learned since I've been coming to Leipzig English Church? Do I remember much? Is God's word actually penetrating and sinking into my heart? Is the good news about Jesus actually changing me, the way I live and act? My priorities? Or is it much more like water, as we say in English, off a duck's back? A duck's back is very smooth. It just flows off, oily and smooth. Is it too often just a bunch of words and stories, some good morals, but not much more? If the gospel seed or word is showing no or little fruit in our lives, it might be because we're not paying much attention to listen. If we go on like this, we are a prime target for the evil one to snatch this word away from us completely. On the other side of the coin, as Christians, it can be quite frustrating, can't it, when we are confronted with such, you might call, hard-boiled eggs. Someone we, over a long period of time, seek to share the good news about Jesus with, but who does not seem to show much interest, let alone fruit. And this can be the experience sometimes of parents with their children, Bible study leaders with people in their group, pastors with particular church members, and all of us as Christians at times with particular friends and family members. But notice here also that the sower does not discriminate. He sows everywhere, even on this hard soil. He doesn't know how people will ultimately respond. He trusts in God to produce the harvest where and when he chooses. His job, our job, is just to sow and to leave the results to God. After all, God could, by his sovereign grace, miraculously change a hard soil into soft and responsive soil, as he did with the Apostle Paul in the Bible, we see. But even if God doesn't do this, the Bible promises that his word never returns to him empty. Even if a hard soil remains hard, you know, pathways are still useful. Perhaps God will use a hard-soiled person as a path to help the gospel go forward in some other way. Well, the second soil we encounter in Jesus' parable is rocky or shallow soil. This person receives the good news about Jesus in a thoughtless and only superficial way. They have a shallow faith that cannot withstand persecution. Reading from verses 5 and 6. Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. In ancient Israel, in some places, there was a solid kind of limestone bedrock just below the surface of the ground, underneath the soil. Seeds planted in such ground could not put down deep roots for water because the soil was, you know, too shallow. And this meant that the plants produced in such soil would spring up quickly, but they would also often die quickly for their lack of water. They would die quickly for their lack of water because as they sprang up, they got hit by the hard Palestinian sun. And Jesus says in verse 20 that the seed sown on rocky ground describes the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So the rocky soil describes the person who appears to show great initial interest and even faith in the gospel. They may appear very excited about the idea of following Jesus and being part of a church. They might even straight away join a ministry team, start regularly attending a home group, or even telling other people about Jesus. But the thoughtlessness, the superficiality of their initial response, and the shallowness or short root of their faith becomes evident when they are personally confronted with the cost of following Christ. When faced with the heat of external pressure, trouble or persecution for being a Christian, the shallowness, the superficiality of their faith becomes clear. They quickly fall away. They quickly give up on Jesus and fail to produce lasting fruit. Sometimes this falling away can happen very soon after the person professes faith in Christ. But sometimes it can even happen years later when for the first time in their life a situation confronts them with the real cost of following Jesus. Perhaps up to that point it's kind of been easy, but then when that situation confronts them, finally they give up. For the first Christians, professing Christ and telling others about him, doing this, we see in the Bible, resulted in many of them being mistreated, imprisoned, or even killed. And for Christians in a Western society like Germany today, that continues to move rapidly away from the biblical truth, on a whole range of moral and social issues, persecution will, I think, involve at times being mocked and ridiculed for our faith. It may also involve being falsely accused of being bigoted, intolerant, homophobic. It may even lead to ostracism, or unfair treatment by family or neighbours or work colleagues. As Christians seek to speak the truth in love on issues such as family, marriage, greed, abortion, it may in the future even land some of us in jail. I think maybe not yet, but we have to be realistic. Where is this society going? If we want to avoid being people with a shallow faith who are overwhelmed by the pressures that will inevitably come on us as Christians, it's helpful to recognise the reality of what we've gotten ourselves into. We need to remember from the scriptures and particularly Christ's own words and his experience that following him in this world will not always be easy, not always plain sailing. We will face trials and persecution, sometimes directly because we are a Christian, but often indirectly, basically because our way of life clashes with other people's ambitions or goals. But we need to hold on to Jesus, being comforted by the fact of the imperishable heavenly inheritance that awaits us. And we need to hold on to him, comforted also by the fact that God uses these trials, these persecutions, to mould and transform us, to purify us and prepare us for heaven. Well, the third soil we encounter then in Jesus' parable today is the thorny or weed-infested soil. Reading from verse 7, "Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them." This person hears the word, but because of their preoccupation, their focus on other things, they never let the good news about Jesus truly control and transform their lives. A few months ago, I made a small vegetable garden with my children on some unused land near our apartment building. We cleared this land of weeds, had a lot of weeds on it, and dug up some soil to soften it. We then planted the seeds. Lots of seeds, actually. I was impressed how rich and black this soil looked. It looked like good soil. Each week, I and the kids have gone to look at the progress of our vegetable garden. But quite frankly, it's been quite disappointing. After 2 months, the only thing that seems to be successfully growing there are the weeds again. I'm not much of a gardener, obviously. The few small vegetable plants that have appeared are already being crowded and choked out by the big vine-like weeds that are around them. And these little vegetable plants, there's not many of them, don't look like they're very likely to survive or produce vegetables. And this is pretty much a picture of the thorny or weed-infested soil Jesus describes in verse 7. And Jesus explains in verse 22 that the seed sown among thorns describes those who hear the gospel word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it, so it proves unfruitful. These people, although making some kind of initial response to Jesus, and perhaps appearing even to evidence some moral change in their lives, in the end, again, they fail to bear any lasting fruit. Their worries, their preoccupations with the things of this world kind of take over. Their desire for good results at university or success in the workplace, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or more money, maybe their desire for an easy life or recognition or popularity or pleasure or power, well, these desires, they become greater than their desire for Jesus and his kingdom. They pursue material things, falling for the lie that money can ultimately satisfy or ultimately secure their future. And these worries, these desires that they chase after, these pursuits, well, they slowly choke the word and stop it producing fruit in their lives. Such people may, for at least a while, profess faith and go regularly to church. But more often than not, I think that they eventually give up or decrease the regularity of their attendance as the pull of the world, of their worldly desires, becomes stronger and church attendance and being part of God's fellowship just gets in the way. Like the choking of a plant by weeds, this process is sometimes slow and subtle and often I think less obvious to the person than those around them. Even if they do keep attending church, they often fail to get involved and make costly commitments to serve. Church becomes just an extra life insurance policy or a place to socialize, but not where they truly encounter God's life-changing word, not the place where the thought of God's Spirit does its transformative surgery on their hearts. That can't happen because their hearts are somewhere else. If this thorny soil describes our lives at all, we need to take Jesus' words seriously and get rid of the weeds that are choking his word and causing us to drift away from him. It's dangerous. Let's see the danger. We need to realize afresh that the one who ultimately supplies our daily needs is not our money or our own hands, but our Creator. The one who ultimately has our future in his hands is Jesus, our Savior. That only as we seek his kingdom, trust in him, will we find treasures that no thief can steal or moth destroy. And each of us needs to love our Christian brothers and sisters enough that we would point out the thorns in their life. Love them enough to help them spot the weeds in their life that are choking God's word, robbing them of the freedom and transformed life God wants to give them in Christ. We need to love our brothers and sisters enough to do that. And this will sometimes be hard, because none of us likes to be told that our garden has weeds in it. It will also be hard sometimes to spot these weeds, because sometimes these weeds in our lives and lives of other people can look remarkably like good fruit. Of course, as we do this, we need to do it with love, seeking at the same time to be alert to and remove any thorns developing in our lives that are choking God's word and taking our focus off Jesus and his kingdom. We need to do it in love. Well, the fourth and final soil then we encounter then in Jesus' parable today is the good soil. The good soil. Unlike the other soils, this person properly hears the word and it radically changes their life. Have a look at verse 8 with me. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. This is the person, as verse 23 puts it, that hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit. In one case 100 fold, in another 60, and another 30. But no matter what amount, it's all the good soil. This person listens with an open heart to the good news about Jesus. They let the seed of his word penetrate deep into the soil of their soul. And this powerful word radically changes and transforms them. If we can honestly say that Jesus is more important to us than anything else, the pearl of great value worth giving up everything for, then we are the good soil. Of course, it is important to notice that Jesus, by these four soils, is not describing just a particular moment in people's lives, but their overall response to his word, to him and his kingdom. As Christians, we can look at various moments in our lives. We can often, too often, look like these three first soils, can't we? But at the end of the day, if the overall or summary picture of our life is one of openness to Jesus and his word, leading to fruit bearing, we can be encouraged that we are truly the good soil. And we should be encouraged from this parable that the word of the gospel does indeed have such power to transform our lives and the lives of others. We may be struggling with difficult and besetting sins, pockets of rebellion inconsistent with our trust in Jesus. We should be encouraged by the parable of the sower that as we apply the ointment of God's word slowly and over time to these wounds, his powerful word will bring healing, maybe not as quickly as we hope for, often sometimes not, but we will move forward. His word and his spirit will change us. It's powerful, this seed of his word. And in a place like Leipzig, where many people around us appear not to know Christ and even be hardened to the gospel, we need to be encouraged from this parable that as we keep sharing the gospel, planting the seed of God's powerful word, hearts will be penetrated and changed for eternity. Again, it is not our job to worry about the amount or the percentage. Our job is simply to sow and to sow widely, everywhere, okay, everywhere. To entrust the fruit to God and know that he will bring his harvest in. So Jesus taught the parable of the sower to teach his disciples the reason why they would be different responses to him and the gospel. There will be different responses depending on how people hear, or put another way, how much they want to hear. The problem is not with the clarity of the message. The problem is with the rebelliousness of the human heart. But again, let us be encouraged that despite the hard or rocky or thorny soil, there will also be good soil. There will be those who let the word of God penetrate and change their lives. And this is a miracle and must ultimately be because God, the farmer who stands behind all sowing, has prepared this soil for this seed. As Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 13:16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The question then for us is, will we be humble? Will we humble ourselves before God and let his word take root in our lives and change us? How will we respond? He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would have ears that do hear, that do properly listen to the words that Jesus would bring to us, to the good news of his gospel, the good news of his rescue for us in his death, his forgiveness of sins by taking our punishment, and his new life in his resurrection. Help us to take this to heart, to listen and respond and be the good soil. By your grace, work your spirit in us daily so we may continue and be this good soil and one day enjoy the blessings of your kingdom. We pray, Lord, also from this parable, that we'll remember to recognise that it will be time, there will be different types of soil that we will face as we seek to share the good news of your Son. Help us not to give up, though. Help us to trust that your word is powerful, the seed of the gospel will change lives, and to share this good news widely to all who will listen, to all we come across. And may by your grace, Lord, in this place that seems often quite hard, may we see lots of fruit for your kingdom and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.